Gospel reading this morning comes to us from Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through chapter 9, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked him, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Then turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be also ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. When we think of the cross, our primary associations are usually Jesus, the crucifixion, religious jewelry, and the church in general. I happen to own a lot of cross pendant necklaces. You can get crosses made out of glass, wood, silver, steel, gemstones, plastic, rubber, big or small, cheap or expensive, devotional or a fashion statement. Crosses are all around us. And that's really kind of strange. If you had mentioned the cross to anyone who followed Jesus at the time, they would have shuddered and remembered the sight of people hanging on crosses in agony, people sentenced to gruesome executions by the authority of Rome, for right or for wrong. They would never have imagined casting a tiny cross in gold and encrusting it with diamonds and wearing it around their necks. Because the cross is a method of execution. Imagine if around my neck or on the front wall of our sanctuary was an image that immediately reminded all of us of execution as we understand it today. Imagine if instead of 2 dainty and artfully crossed lines, we found ourselves gazing up at a noose or an electric chair or the syringe of a lethal injection. The cross is a method of execution, and it should make us uncomfortable. The cross should remind us of the depths of the human capacity to cause each other pain. The cross should remind us of the lengths that Jesus was willing to go on our behalf. The cross should remind us of our own mortality, but also of the love of God that makes life worth living. It certainly makes Peter uncomfortable when Jesus talks about the cross. Just a few lines before, Jesus says to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" It's a good question and worth our consideration. Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter doesn't always get it right, neither do we. But this time he does, saying in response that Jesus is the Messiah. You might think that if you are willing to accept that someone is the Messiah, that you would also be willing to listen to and to trust that person when they tell you their own plan. But of course, we are only human, after all. We are human, and we want to be swept away from our troubles, rescued from oppression, vindicated, surrounded by love. Peter wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and usher in a new era of peace and freedom. That's not what Jesus came to do. No matter how much we wanted it, no matter how desperately we prayed for it. He told us exactly what would happen instead, but we didn't want to hear it because it wasn't what we wanted to hear. Peter even openly rebukes Jesus, the man whom he had just named as the Messiah. I'm sure Peter had the best of intentions when he rebuked Jesus. If they want to inspire a movement and make people feel better about the world and its capacity for change, there needs to be some hope to cling to, right? Not just depressing threats of their leaders rapidly approaching death. But Jesus didn't come just to inspire people or make them feel better. Jesus came to preach the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, to change the world, to tell us more about the nature of God, and to pave the way for our own salvation. None of that was ever going to be easy for us to hear or easy for us to follow. 3 times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells us that he is going to die. And 3 times, his friends brushed it off like he was being paranoid or melodramatic or overly pessimistic. Jesus says uncomfortable things, and that is exactly why he was executed. We don't particularly like feeling uncomfortable or having uncomfortable conversations, but if we don't, how can we ever expect to break the cycles that we're trapped in, or be at all prepared for the change that might come? And yet, we'd rather argue with Jesus than hear him tell us that we won't be getting what we want. We do it all the time. But this time, Jesus argues right back. Most of us know this line in the flavor of the King James Bible, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But while that is technically an accurate translation from Greek to English, it really loses a lot of the meaning in the way that we hear it. Satanos in Greek does not refer to a single demonic or evil figure. It just means adversary or enemy or one who opposes. Jesus is not saying that Peter is evil. He's saying something more along the lines of, "Look, are you with me or not? Get behind me if you're against me. Now stop trying to argue for what you want to happen and listen to me when I tell you what is going to happen." Peter must have listened then, because 6 days later, Jesus led him up a mountain to show him sights he couldn't understand. A vision of Jesus in robes so dazzlingly white that Peter never knew white could be so bright. And on either side of him stood Elijah and Moses. And suddenly the heavens were torn open, and a great voice proclaimed, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Whether or not we want to hear it, again and again, God calls us to take a breath and be still and listen.